ya saben el escándalo que hubo.
¿Qué tal?
Elon Musk, que tiene fama de millonario excéntrico, fundador de Tesla, de SpaceX y, hijo, usuario activo de Twitter, que posteaba unos horrores, que qué barbaridad, compró Twitter. Entonces, leyendo por la vida, me encuentro un artículo súper interesante de una súper plataforma que seguramente muchos de ustedes conocen, que se llama Vice, y encontré el artículo de un periodista, escritor, que se llama Edward Onguezo Jr. Y entonces me encantó cómo dio esta explicación de por qué Elon Musk compró Twitter. Esto, le dirían mis hijas, se llama pop culture y es el tema de que hay que saber un poquito de todo. Entonces, Edward nos va a explicar exactamente cuál es el cuento detrás de la compra de Elon Musk de Twitter por, creo que son 53 billones de dólares. Ahorita que nos diga Edward. Edward, my friend, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am so happy you're here. I'm so excited. So I read your article and I said, absolutely has to come on the show to explain to the whole country, why did Elon Musk buy Twitter? So you gotta be a great storyteller and tell everybody the story.
Yeah. Do you want me to start with Elon Musk and why he might have bought it or why he wanted to buy
it? Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think, you know, there were a lot of competing narratives that I think are worth thinking through, right? Yeah. You know, there was the belief that Elon Musk bought Twitter because he cares about free speech. You know, he had tweeted about free speech, that Twitter was a public square, a town square where everybody used it. And so it was important to protect. But if you look at his actions, right, this is not an individual who cares about free speech. And also Twitter's not the sort of platform that he thinks it is, right? Elon Musk himself is someone who regularly censors and tried to crush or destroy whistleblowers. He's someone that's tried to hire private investigators to smear people that disagreed with him in public. This is someone who has fired workers for reporting harassment, for reporting racism in their workplace. This is someone who is not really interested in what other people have to say, unless it is something he can use to advance. Yeah, exactly. You know, he's a salesman at the end of the day. Yeah. So then what are some other explanations for it? Other explanations are that maybe he thinks he can make a lot of money from it. And that's a possibility that we can put to the side as well. Another explanation, and the one that I, you know, tend to land on, is that Twitter is important to Elon Musk and his business, right? Twitter is where a lot of his fans live. Twitter is the way that he communicates with a lot of his fans. His fans are some of the reasons why his companies have grown, to an incredible amount of value and valence in the culture, right? Tesla, for example, is valued at $1 trillion, larger than the next 10 car automobile manufacturers combined, even though it doesn't have a production capacity that outstrips them at that level, right? One reason why it's so inflated is because of the fanatic worship of Elon Musk and their ability to push up the stock and insist that anything and everything he touches is gold. And one way to ensure that that sort of relationship stays is to own the company, right?
Yeah. Okay. Stop right there, because I don't know how. I need to say everything you just said in Spanish.
Sorry. I'll remember that.
Yeah. Okay. So it dice, okay, miren. Primero, para empezar, Elon Musk, por comprar Twitter, 44 mil millones de dólares, tomando el control de una de las plataformas donde todos parecen enojados por algo, todavía no se sabe por qué está entrando. Entonces, las teorías que dice Edward que podrían ser es, oye, pues está comprando Twitter porque quiere proteger la libertad de expresión. Porque saben que Elon Musk es muy vocal en Twitter, tuitea barbaridad y media, y mucha gente pensaba que a lo mejor era por eso. Pero la verdad es que pensando que ese es su principal motivador, sería muy, muy inocente. Porque, pues Elon Musk es un hombre conocido por causarle daño a gente que no está de acuerdo con él, en correr a los empleados que se quejan de acoso o de discriminación racial. O sea, no tiene buena fama y dicen que no es un buen patrón. Entonces, dice que algo que es muy interesante y algo que no podemos poner a un lado, el hecho de que Elon Musk tiene una gran base de fans y seguidores que han logrado que, pues hoy, una de sus compañías, que es Tesla, valga $1 trillón, que es todavía más que todas las armadoras juntas. Imagínense el valor de Tesla. Entonces, puede ser que la razón por la cual esté comprando Twitter es porque él quiera seguir teniendo control de la conversación con su ejército de fanáticos que le ayudan a comercializar, vender, promover todo lo que él hace, porque al final, como dice Edward, el señor es un vendedor. Sí. Okay, but did he need to invest that amount of money to have more control over his relationship with all his fans, ambassadors, and promoters?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, because he probably could have sufficiently had that relationship when he first bought 9.2% of Twitter, right? Yeah. But I think that, you know, part of it is Elon Musk, when he uses Twitter, it's a very different experience for most of us. Yeah. You know, when most of us use Twitter, maybe it's like interacting with people that we know, and then sometimes something that you say may cause, you know, backlash or people to argue with you, or it's people trying to respond to other people who don't, you know, respond to them. You know, there's an analysis, another journalist, Max Reed, pointed out that, you know, when Elon Musk uses Twitter, he just gets richer, right? When he uses Twitter, more people buy whatever it is that he mentioned. When he uses Twitter, more people praise him for what he's doing. That on some base level, it makes sense for him to buy it because of the relationship to the fans, but also because he probably enjoys it more than most people.
Yeah. Okay. Let me say that in Spanish. Dice, a ver, porque le digo, pero neta, solamente para mantener control de su relación con sus fans, es que compra Twitter, invierte esa cantidad de dinero. Y me dice, es que, a ver, nosotros, todos nosotros, cuentavientes, usamos Twitter pues para postear a lo que nos interesa, para emitir nuestra opinión y, bueno, por ahí, de repente, a lo que decimos, causa controversia, llama la atención, tienes más retweets. Pero a diferencia de nosotros, Elon Musk, cada vez que tuitea algo, se vuelve más rico. Cada vez que tuitea algo, la gente lo compra. Entonces, obviamente, como decía otro periodista conocido de Edward, es que de verdad esto para él es un arma comercial muy fuerte, independientemente de que pasara, digo, de que a él particularmente le fascina usar Twitter. Okay. What could happen with Twitter in the hands of Elon Musk, Edward?
So I think a lot of people are rightfully concerned, you know, is Elon Musk going to change the way that the company operates? I think some things will change, but most will stay the same for a few reasons, right? Yeah. A lot of people were worried when he was directly calling out employees at the company and they were getting harassed. A lot of people were worried that he has politics that might be to the right wing or a libertarian. A lot of people worried that he may use it to just focus on pet projects or get bored of it and not really take care of the company. But we also have to remind people, this is how Twitter was run before, right? Twitter was previous CEO was a libertarian, right winger or vaguely right wing, who ran multiple companies, just like Elon Musk runs multiple companies. That Twitter in of itself has been a honeypot for assholes for a long time, right? There's been a lot of harassment that's been going on. There's been a lot of evasion of rules or double standards for applying the rules to right wing, you know, trolls as opposed to leftists and dissidents who are more frequently banned and suspended. And also that this is a company that, you know, this is a company, the way that it is, it amplifies, like, you know, Musk can't do too many changes to it because he took out loans against his own shares, right? He's going to have to pay down the interest on the loans that he took out to finance this deal. So he has to introduce some mechanics that improve the money-making ability of Twitter, but not too many that it loses the core dynamic that keeps his shares and his business valuable. Because if he doesn't have that, then the whole deal would collapse and he would end up owing a lot more of his net worth and his Tesla shares than previously envisioned.
Okay, so let me say that. Le digo que, a ver, en manos de Elon Musk, ¿qué cree que cambiaría en Twitter? Y me dice, bueno, obviamente la prioridad más enérgica de Musk era hacer Twitter una plaza pública digital políticamente neutral, porque obviamente lo que él estaba buscando era libertad de expresión, como lo permitan las leyes de cada país, y eso podría significar, por ejemplo, el regreso de Donald Trump a Twitter, que haya leyes más neutrales en contra, entre los de la derecha y los de la izquierda. Pero por otro lado dice algo muy interesante, Edward. O sea, piensen que Elon Musk sacó un crédito por $44 mil millones contra sus acciones de Tesla. Y eso significa, evidentemente, que va a tener que pagar esos intereses. ¿Cree que parte de la razón por la cual va a estar muy cuidadoso de cómo maneja Twitter es porque gran parte del pago de esos intereses va a venir de los ingresos de Twitter? Y por eso probablemente sea de mucho interés de Elon Musk hacer de Twitter un negocio más grande para ahora sí que se pague solo ese crédito, pero cree que el corazón de Twitter no necesariamente va a cambiar. Do you think that's going to be the return of Trump?
If we're being honest, I think Trump was going to return anyway. I didn't think that Twitter would keep Trump banned if he ran for president again. Mm-hmm. And the Facebook bans also, I think, ran out or timed out around the time that you would run for president again. So yeah. I think that's also something that a lot of people honed in on. I think if he lets Trump back on, it probably would have happened already, you know.
Yeah. Le digo que si va a regresar Trump entonces a Twitter y a Facebook, me dice, mira, creo que es algo que va a pasar de todos modos. Y si Trump vuelve a correr para la presidencia de Estados Unidos, justamente cuando empieza la campaña es justamente cuando se vence el veto que tiene Trump en Facebook. Y un poco similar será lo que pasa en Twitter. Entonces, pues creo que va a pasar de todos modos. Elon Musk o no Elon Musk. You know, many people admire profoundly Elon Musk for everything he has achieved. But I think that, as you just told us, few people know what's behind the way Elon Musk operates.
Yeah, you know, I mean, one of the crown jewels of Elon Musk's fandom is the Tesla company, specifically the Fremont factory, and the idea that he's creating electric vehicles that will rid us of fossil fuels and help save the planet. The Fremont factory is, by the accounts of the thousands of black workers who are suing California right now, the most racist place that they've ever worked at. Wow. Where it was called the plantation, where white managers separated and segregated workers based on race, made black workers do the most menial and degrading work, even when they didn't, denied them promotions, called them racist slurs, drew pictures of nooses and other racist imagery around the warehouse. And this is the factory that is supposed to be the site where the future of the world is being born, right? This is a pattern that we see everywhere in Elon Musk's empire, where there's a very shiny thing that he proposes and people ignore that a lot of it is vaporware. Another example.
At what cost, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You know that, you know, with Neuralink is another example where a lot of his fans are excited about the possibility of connecting to digital devices with your mind, ignoring that one in the tests that have been done so far, they've killed almost every single animal that's been used. And two, that there seems to be no consideration about let's say this technology is possible, what the implications would be on other people hacking it, interfacing into it, any sort of privacy concerns that could emerge if your data was being used or if insights into your mind could be gained. All of it is the focus on the glitz and the sci-fi, not the reality and the misery.
Claro, let me say that. Le digo que, o sea, Elon Musk tiene un chorro de fans porque la verdad es que ha logrado cosas extraordinarias, ¿no? Pero poca gente, como nos lo acaba de contar Edward, conoce lo que hay detrás de eso. Y me dice, bueno, o sea, obviamente la marca Tesla suena como algo muy sensacional, ¿no? Un coche libre de emisiones, eléctrico, pro ambiente, pro protección del mundo, sustentable, bla, bla, bla. Pero pues lo que la gente no sabe es que el Tesla se hace en una fábrica que es casi casi una plantación de del siglo antepasado, que es el Fremont Factory, que trae unas demandas impresionantes en el estado de California de miles de empleados que dicen que nunca han trabajado en un lugar más racista, de el trato que tiene con la gente, de la preferencia que tiene por los blancos. Y me dice, y por ejemplo, otro de sus proyectos que es esta interfase para poder conectar tu mente con cualquier device. Oye, suena muy sensacional, pero lo que mucha gente no sabe es la cantidad de animales que han matado tratando de desarrollar pues este software. Entonces, pues sí, la realidad que ve mucha gente es todo el glitz and glamour, toda la cosa espectacular, pero no saben el costo y a costo de quién, desde personas y animales, que se hacen las cosas que hace Elon Musk. Edward, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Great thank talking you to you. And yeah. Thank you for making us more knowledgeable. Don't go. Es arroba Big Black Jacobin. Big Black Jacobin. Ahorita se los pongo en Twitter. Si quieren seguir a Edward Onguesso Jr., periodista y escritor en Vice. Con esto hacemos una pausa y regresamos.
Marta de Baile, al aire, por W Radio 96.9. Hacemos una pausa.